CastleRockRadio.com. The future of radio.
Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no.
Hello, and welcome to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio. We have as our special guest today, Michael Potter. Michael is the president and chairman of Eden Foods, and we're excited to have him on today because it's non-GMO month, and I know that Michael is also part of that program, too. I think he's one of the founding people that started that project, and he also serves as a director. And before we introduce Michael to everyone, I'd like to really thank all of our sponsors. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be doing this show. Hole in the Wall Herb Shop in Woodland Park, Maximilian's Restaurant in Woodland Park, Guy Harold Cookware, which is stainless steel non-reactive cookware, Empowerment Through Healing and Tammy Urbanic, Open Heart Healing with Jeannie Smith, and Karen Cantrell, who's a healing animal whisperer. And also wanted to let all our listeners know that we're going to be giving away a $25 gift certificate today to Maximilian's Restaurant in Woodland Park. Maximilian's serves healthy local food, some organics, clean meat, and at some point during the show, we will announce that we will take the first caller who would like to receive this gift certificate. So stay tuned, and you may win a $25 gift certificate. So welcome to the show, Michael.
Greetings.
It's really exciting to have you on here. Again, I wanted to let our listeners know that Michael is the president, and you're the chairman also of Eden Foods. Is that correct?
Chief cook and bottle washer here.
Okay.
Have been for 40 years.
Great. Well, we love your company, and we think it's just such got high integrity, and we're really excited to have you on the show. I personally
use a
lot of your products, and I guess we'll start out with Michael. Tell us a little bit about why and when you founded Eden Foods.
I'm one of five, six children, and my younger sister Nancy gave me a book in the late 60s about macrobiotics, about eating grains and vegetables as the center and predominance of your diet and incorporating virtually almost anything else into it, but as opposed to meat and sugar being the mainstay of my diet, which it was up to the time I was 18 years old. And in reading this book, I thought, this makes a lot of sense. And I went out to health food stores at the time looking for brown rice and miso. And that was the beginning of Eden Foods. Going out looking for alternatives to commercial food. And the company started in the late 60s, and 67, 68, it's kind of vague, really, but it started in Ann Arbor on campus at the University of Michigan as a student co-op.
Wow.
And we bought little orders from Erewhon in Boston and Chico San in Northern California. And we brought them in, and it created a great deal of interest amongst the student population and our friends and family, and it turned into a co-op, which turned into a retail store, which turned into Eden Foods.
Wow, and I bet back then the whole organic issue was not as big as it is now because of the there wasn't as many pesticides or GMOs and... You know, the food was a little bit more natural back then.
Really, we started out, Eden Foods started out on the principles of grains and vegetables, and we didn't really think about organic until after we had established our efforts in getting good quality whole grains and vegetables, brown rice, miso, sea vegetables, good local vegetables. Then we said, well, this stuff's got to be grown. As we learned a little bit about food in the process, we learned about what was happening in agriculture and food processing and the adulteration occurring in our food and the toxicity of the adulteration, and which led us into things like biodynamics and organic and getting clean food. It just was a logical progression from where we started it.
I understand that Eden Food has very high standards for their food production. Can you talk? It seems as though they're probably the highest in the industry. Can you talk a little bit about what your food goes through and its process of going to the market?
It starts with where we acquire the food, and we are very fussy about all aspects of starting there to ourselves and to our friends and customers, consumers, because we're eating it ourselves and we know what we want. And at the time, I was planning a family, and we were then getting it and preparing it for our children. And today, we're getting it and preparing it for my grandchildren. And we all are doing that here, and that's the criteria we make in making decisions. What's best for my granddaughter? And if it's not best for my granddaughter, we don't do it. And we are not forced to meet economic number crunchers, Wall Street numbers. That's not our model. Our model is to get the best food humanly possible for ourselves and those we love and share it with as many people as possible.
That's amazing. That's so inspiring. If only a small number more companies would have, you know, it would be such an amazing place.
It's amazing that we've been able to survive with that being what drives us. But, you know, I commonly say that one of the best things about this company is that we are doing exactly what we started out to do. And there are no other factors involved in our decision-making process. And over the decades, we've gotten mighty good at it.
How has that changed over the decades, trying to get quality food? What have been some of those factors that have changed since you started?
Well, organic food kind of used to be a second-class citizen. When we first got into organic food, it not looking as good as USDA number one, for instance, that was acceptable because at least it doesn't have the chemicals on it. Well, and that's almost a requirement of transitioning from commercial agriculture, chemical agriculture to organic agriculture, you've got to take soil that was formerly reliant upon the chemicals to grow the food, to produce the food, and transform it into creating the food from the vitality of nature and living ecosystems in the soil that better nurture the food. So the transition from less than the best looking or appearing to today is remarkable. Today, the organic food that we buy is far superior to any commercial counterpart in appearance, in taste, in nutrient content. So that's a joy I care to share. The challenges of getting organic food, we determined early on that we needed to know the growers. We needed to know what was motivating these people to be sure that we were going to get what we wanted. We couldn't rely on it. When there's a premium attached to, a premium price attached to organic, which there is, which, you know, only economies of scale is gonna change. There's an incentive to cheat, and you know, that incentive was there when we started, and it exists today, and it's integral to what we do, to know the farms, the fields, and most importantly, the people that are making decisions on the agricultural side. And that's been just a joy to work with those folks over the decades.
That's great. I get my own veggies from a farmer that I know, and I go and visit the farm and can walk in the fields and feel the soil with my feet, and it just feels so great. I'll pick up a carrot and it'll still have dirt on it, and I'll eat it, and just knowing where it came from, it just feels better. And that's
great. My grandma used to say, eat a peck of dirt a year. Don't worry about it. A little dirt on your carrot.
So in other words, you're distinguishing between organic farmers, because there are different standards that farmers hold themselves to.
Well, as we all know, the USDA became involved and basically owns and regulates the use of the word organic today. And just as they have been a marketing arm of the Monsantos and DuPonts of the world, they are marketing, and they try to make the organic, they try to make it cheaper and easier for big companies to get into the organic food industry, and they have. And they have made it cheaper and easier. And it remains absolutely essential for me and everybody listening to know where their food's coming from. Just because it says organic on it, that's not enough. Because there's a lot of organic food out there that doesn't meet our criteria by a long shot.
So what can the average person do in this regard? What do you suggest? I mean, other than buy your food.
Get closer to where it's coming from. The perfect example we just had. Farmers markets are wonderful. Local food is very important. Transporting food from China to the USA is ludicrous. You know, local agriculture, small farms, we need to respect those people more. We need to pay a fair price for food. American farmers can't compete with free labor of other countries. It boils down to respect. In the pecking order of respect of people, with doctors and scientists and presidents and senators being at the top, where's the farmer fall into that? Way down at the bottom. Yeah. Where should the farmer fall into that spectrum of respect? Right at the top. If they're a good farmer, they deserve our respect.
Absolutely. You know, and on that note, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back. You are listening to Food Integrity Now. I'm Carol Gravey. I'm here with Susan Wright and Matt Spaeth, and our guest, Michael Potter. We'll be right back. Hi everyone, this is Carol again, and I just wanted to talk to you about one of our new sponsors, Hole in the Wall Herb and Vitamin Shop up in Woodland Park. The owners, Mark and Nancy Duvall, are not only close personal friends, but they're also my nutritional gurus. They are now selling, teaching, and doing Acira bioenergetic testing on their clients. I had this done, and I found out all my food allergies, emotional stressors, environmental sensitivities, hormonal balance, and I received a customized homeopathic remedy. Please call them for more information at 1-800-437-3240. I'm Carol Gervais, and I'm a certified life coach and one of the hosts of the Food Integrity Now show right here on Castle Rock Radio. Have you ever dreamed of swimming with the wild and free dolphins? I'm not talking about the ones in captivity like the ones at Dolphin Quest. I'm talking about swimming with them in the wild. If this is something you've only dreamt about doing, I invite you to mark this off your bucket list now and join me for an all-inclusive trip to swim with the wild dolphins. Your trip to paradise will include organic gourmet meals, ocean waterfront accommodations, Lomi Lomi massage, and much more. What are you waiting for? Now is the time to make your dream a reality. For more information, go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or contact me at carol@coachwithcarol.com or 719-687-7447. Once again, that's 719-687-7447. Mahalo.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio. Our guest today, Michael Potter from Eden Foods. Michael, before we took the break, you were talking about how Eden's organic standards are different than the USDA's. And I'm curious, what exactly do you hold your standards for organic food to?
We know in great detail the history of all the land that produces food for us, who's owned it, how it's been treated, what crops have been growing there. We know where the farm is. We visit the farm at least once a year. We know the people, the families. We sit in their kitchens with them. We know what we're buying. Other systems of organic, quote-unquote, certification, it's predominantly, if not entirely, a paperwork system that if you comply with this paperwork system, it requires no human contact, that you then qualify for use of the word organic. So the way we go about it and the way others choose to go about it, it's like night and day, really.
Wow. You know, I would love to just be able to shop in an entire grocery store where I knew that everything that was chosen to be put in that store had gone through those same standards.
And it should, but that's not the case today.
Yeah, hopefully that'll come sometime soon. I know some few individuals that are working towards something like that. So, October, we're coming up towards the end of the first ever non-GMO month, as started by the Non-GMO Project. Basically, could you give our listeners a rundown of exactly what this project does and what is Eden's involvement in it?
Eden was asked to become part of this about 2.5 years ago, and we participated in the writing of the standards and how we go about it. And there's been a group of good folks from the organic foods industry, and there are many of such folks, but there's a good group of about 12 of us that have worked hard on this for quite a while, and we came up with a verification scheme or system that requires testing, because if you don't look and you don't test, you don't know. But a lot of people were making claims about GMO-free, genetically engineered-free things without ever testing. And we thought the industry desperately needed a criteria, a standardized criteria, before that claim was made. And the Non-GMO Project was aptly named to do that. And we've got a great system in place now. It will continue to evolve, I'm certain, that is thorough, professional, scientific, knowledgeable, and well lays the groundwork for communicating to the public or to your children that this food is GMO-free or a non-GMO food. Non-GMO Project, this is how you go about it. And retailers, manufacturers, farmers, seed producers, and distributors are participating.
So you're saying that I could go into a grocery store right now and pick up a product that says GMO-free, and that might not be the case?
Correct. Correct.
So we need to look for the non-GMO project seal. Do anything?
Well, the non-GMO project is well on the way to accomplishing something very necessary in the natural products industry. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of product. I think about 2,000 different food items now that are certified non-GMO compliant. On the other hand, there is a lot of other food out there that is questionable. The industry before the non-GMO project got going, it was kind of a don't ask, don't tell. If it's organic, of course it's non-GMO because that's what the federal organic law says. But if nobody is testing and verifying, and with the contamination, like in the corn area where pollen can drift 30 miles and contaminate crops. The project has acknowledged and has a system for a clear and educated look at food to determine if it's GMO or not.
You know, and I think that would be great if it could get to the place where there was, a label from a project such as the non-GMO project where people knew.
But still, even if the projects work, like I said, it will continue to evolve. But, okay, at a farmer's market, I mean, I'm going back to what I said a moment ago. You need to know where your food's coming from. Eden Foods is a trustable source. We have completely transparent records here available to anyone that's interested, and we love people that are interested, regarding where the food's been, how it's been grown, how it's been handled, what truck it was on, everything it's ever come in contact with. And you need to know where your food's coming from and how it's being handled. I think one of the biggest social issues that's being ignored by most of us today is our right to know information about our food and the erosion of those rights.
Yeah, it's passivity. And what it comes down to, Michael, is that we're all responsible to know where our food comes from. And it can take some work and some research, but ultimately we're responsible.
If nobody's interested, like I said, if nobody's watching and nobody's looking, the food industry has been geared primarily for over 100 years towards cheap, cheaper, and cheapest. And what do you end up with after 100 years of that? Well, go in a grocery store, and that's what you end up with. Food that is very unappealing to me.
There's been a lot of studies recently that have finally been coming to light on the effects of GMOs. Because it seems that a lot of people don't know why they should care exactly. They may have moral issues about it, but in terms of hard data and evidence, there's the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, that paper that came out, and then there was the President Obama's cancer panel recommending that people eat foods that were not treated with pesticides. What are, in a few words, what do you tell people when they ask you why they should care about GMOs?
Well, I can tell you this, it's not a moral issue for me. And I can also tell you that there, as you mentioned a little bit of the science is clear. There is sound reason for grave concern about the health impact on human beings of genetically engineered food. Sound reason for grave concern.
And one of the pros, or what they cite as the reasons for creating genetically modified foods, is greater yield. Is that tended to be true in what you've studied?
It's not at all true. It's not at all true. In fact, a good organic field will outproduce a Monsanto soybean crop. It's completely untrue. And the source of this information is that industry, the GMO industry. And they've demonstrated with their marketing of DDT, with their marketing of PCBs, with their marketing of Agent Orange and Roundup, and they've demonstrated that they are not a reliable source of information, yet all the testing the government requires is done by them. And they have millions, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars to spend on influencing the public's perception of what they're doing. And they're highly skilled at it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the information they put out is false, and they know it.
Yeah, it's for greed is the bottom line. That's my thoughts on
That's
it.
In the nail on the head.
Yep.
I had a friend who... He had a childhood friend that grew up and knew when he was 18 that he wanted to genetically engineer plants, which was pretty astonishing to me. Basically, he was a stellar student, ended up getting his own laboratory at Monsanto. My friend goes and visits him, gets a tour of the whole facility, comes back to his apartment, and this guy's apartment was just filled with organic food from Whole Foods. He didn't have any GMO stuff in it.
Yep. So. Yep. On the other hand, you know, genetic engineering as a category, perhaps some silver bullet medicines may come out of that technology, you know, that that do miraculous things for individuals or many, many thousands or millions of people. That would be great. So I don't think, you know, the science itself is bad. But, you know, the first thing you do with it is genetically engineer all the food and feed it to the population without their knowledge. I mean, pardon me, there's something very wrong with that.
Yeah. And on that note, we will take a break. You are listening to Food Integrity Now. We will be right back.
If you are looking for some flavorful, healthy, fresh food, come out to Maximilian's Cafe in Woodland Park, Colorado, focusing on local, fresh ingredients with a changing seasonal menu. Located at 209 East Midland Avenue, Woodland Park, Colorado, right off Highway 24 in downtown. Our walls are full of local artist artwork, and on Friday and Saturday nights, we feature local singers, songwriters, and performers to entertain you while you relax and enjoy a fun environment, a glass of wine, and fantastic food. Open 7 days a week from 11 to 9 p.m., 11 to 8 p.m. on Sunday and Monday.
Hi, I'm Karen Cantrell. I'm an animal whisperer. I have the ability to connect with the energy of your animals. During our session, you will gain a valuable understanding of what the animal is experiencing and why, the ways that you can assist them, and also discover the information and support your animals desire to share with you to assist you on your own healing path. For more information, visit my website, healinganimalwhisperer.com. Or give me a call at 303-974-1978.
Hi, folks. My name is Guy Harold, and my family has been in the surgical stainless steel cookware business for 63 years. I am a value dealer. I sell for less. The cookware is used by Gearson and Price Pottinger, people around the world. Why? Our steel is non-reactive, non-porous, and is correct for your cooking needs. The temperature gauge knob tells you when the texture of produce and minimizes plant cell breakage, saving up to 48.9% more nutritional food value. The cookware has a lifetime warranty. No aluminum, no coatings, no cast iron, no ceramic, and no glass. Nothing to break or wear out. And you can stack cook up to three tiers high, saving you energy as well as food value. Call the Cookware Guy at 760-505-7057 or visit our website at www.stainlesscookware4u.com. That's stainlesscookware, number four, letter U.com.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio. We are talking with Michael Potter of Eden Foods today, but before we get back to our special guest, I'd like to announce that the first caller from now on will be the recipient of a $25 gift certificate from Maximilian's Cafe in Woodland Park. So get on the phones. We're looking forward to giving this away.
And that phone number is 888-321-7234. Again, 888-321-7234. Give us a call.
Thanks, Carol. And back to Mr. Potter. There's some new, just recently, some new varieties of GM soy were approved for the market. And, you know, based on some recent statements by the USDA on the superweeds issue, we're just seeing that there is so much, there's so many people in the U.S. government on the biotechnology team that are really just pushing for this. And I'm wondering what you see as what will be the culmination of this, and how can we as people influence positive change in what we want in our food?
Well, if you want to predict the future, study the past. DDT was released into the environment. It's perfectly safe. They put people on TV eating spoonfuls of it to demonstrate its safety. And it ended up killing all the eagles, et cetera, and poisoning us. And, I mean, when they first came out with nuclear energy, the U.S. government told us it was perfectly safe. Nuclear radiation is perfectly safe. And then you find out after the fact that DDT is not good and radiation is not harmless and it has serious consequences. And I'm sure that that's what's going to happen with genetically engineered foods.
Great. Well, we're definitely going to do our part to put all the information out there and to notify as many people as possible, just to do their own research and to take some responsibility about looking into what they're putting into their body. Let's go ahead, Carol.
Oh, I just thought it would be interesting to have you speak a little bit about BPA in food storage, and how does your company handle that, and what do you think about BPA, and what can people do?
Well, BPA, bisphenol A, it's an endocrine disruptor, and I first learned about it in the mid-90s from a source out of Germany, and it was referencing canned foods, and I owned a canning factory down in Indiana. We operate a organic canning facility, and I thought, no, it couldn't be. And I began years of research, study, and lobbying to get it. First, I discovered, much to my dismay, that yes, this BPA is in these cans that we're using. And after about 2.5 years of working with the canning companies, one of them, the Ball Corporation, was kind enough to make cans for us the way they made them before this BPA-laced can lining came into being, and it's called a C-enamel. It's basically an oleo resin enamel instead of this BPA enamel, and we've been using that since April of 1999. Recently, more scientific information came out on this side of the Atlantic Ocean about BPA and its health effects, and people are hearing about it. We didn't tell anybody about what we did with BPA back in 99 because nobody would have known what we were talking about. Today, people understand that this is one of at least 10,000 similar chemicals that are pervasive in our food systems, and BPA is one of them. We've managed to avoid it in our bean products, in our canning facility, completely with cooperation from a can supplier. But, the cans are 14% more, they cost a more. And it's, again, it's an economy of scale. Well, they don't make many of those anymore. In fact, we're the only food company in America that they make them for. But, you know, BPA, like I said, most of your listeners have probably heard about it now, and it remains a pervasive environmental pollutant, not only in food, but on your credit card receipts, for instance. The average American can't get through the day without coming in contact with BPA.
We're going to just interrupt you for a second. We have our caller, I understand, is on the line. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You are the recipient of the Maximilian's Cafe $25 gift certificate. And what is your name?
William Gagan.
William Gagan. Well, congratulations on winning that certificate.
Thank you so much.
And we will get all of your information. And thanks for listening to the show.
Enjoy.
Thank you for putting on the show.
Thanks, William. Michael, so even after, I remember when that news of BPA first came out and everyone was astonished and everyone was freaking out and getting rid of their Nalgene bottles. So even after that and the media has died down, is there's still BPA in the lining of cans? Is that correct?
I am unaware of another food company in the United States or Canada that uses BPA-free cans.
Wow.
There's a lot of it out there. In fact, you know, 99.99% of it.
And I understand tomatoes, there's a real issue with tomatoes being in those types of cans in particular.
Well, there is a alternative for low-acid foods. Tomatoes are acidic, a high-acid food, and there is no can lining, steel can lining, that is legal to use in North America that is BPA-free today. We began our work with Ball getting a BPA-free can back in 1997. And this spring, I received a report concerning our canned tomatoes that from the Ball Corporation that was extremely discouraging. And I told my purchasing department, "Okay, you know, we've got, you know, this is long enough. We can't wait. We've got to do something. Put it in glass." And that's what we did this year. We took our tomatoes and we're putting them in amber glass jars because, in spite of about almost a decade and a half of consistent work trying to come up with an alternative, we have been unsuccessful for steel cans and tomatoes.
Well, you know, that's just amazing, and we really appreciate, again, your company setting the standards and raising the bar, and hopefully other companies can follow. I mean, that's why we do this show, and that's why it's so important.
Well, the other companies aren't going to make the change. The industries that the big giant industries that feed these canning factories, etc., aren't going to modify their behavior unless your listeners, unless the public cares and makes it quite clear that they do care. So please, audience, become involved. Become involved. Become vocal. Just ask questions at your food store.
Do you think that demand is increasing now, that awareness is increasing? Have you seen a difference? Have you perceived a difference in the public?
It's not dramatic by any means. The trend is trending very slowly in the right direction. I think the trend will reach its inevitable conclusion, but it's early on in the trend, and it's important. You know, we can change the future by becoming involved today. If we ignore it, ignorance is bliss, and do nothing about it, it will persist for Lord knows how long. Don't underestimate the power of an intelligently asked question. Mm-hmm.
I was inspired when I was doing research for an article, and I found a Washington Post survey in which they asked if people wanted to know if there are GMOs in their food on the subject.
And they don't want to know, do they?
Well, actually, the people that had responded to this survey, 95% wanted to know if it was in their food. But, you know, like, ask those same people, do you want to take the effort to call your congressman or ask at the restaurant if they serve GMOs, then people probably, you're going to get a whole lot lower number. But yeah. I think, you know, people, I really do believe that people do care. And like Carol said before, it's the passiveness. And if people just need to light their fire and feel that passion and understand why they really should care.
And they,
yeah, well,
go ahead.
Carol, let me just say that when I started in the food industry in the late 60s, if I would have said to another person that disease, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, type 2, these things are diet-related, they would have thought I was crazy. So that's how much has changed since the 60s to today. Everybody knows that diet is related to health. People didn't know that even then. And so the pace of change can definitely accelerate, and I'd certainly like to see that happen.
Yeah, and again, it just starts with individuals, you know, to say no to GMOs, to say no to pesticides, to share that information with their friends. And I wanted to let our listeners know, if they have a question for Michael in this last segment, feel free to call in. That number is 888-321-7234. And we are going to be taking a break.
Letting them know that you care about GMO and non-GMO and organic
and in a restaurant you're talking to food professionals, and those people know a lot more than the average person about food categorically, and it's amazing how receptive they are to positive change.
Yeah, a lot of the chefs that I've talked to, they would prefer to use organic food because of its better taste and quality. But they, you know, they often say, well, you know, some people are not willing to pay for that. So that's where the education comes in of why they'd want to have organic food.
We live in a society where we just have so much plastic all around us. It's our food is touching it all the time.
Well, we're eating it too, you know. It's, plastic food is there.
Mm-hmm. Man, are there any types of plastics that if the customer has a choice, what should they look for in what they put in their kitchen?
I'm not an expert on this, but I know that something as bad sounding as polyethylene, I mean, that sounds bad.
Yeah.
It does, but polyethylene is an excellent food contact surface. It's an excellent food packaging material because it doesn't migrate into the food. It's hyperstable. In fact, they package nitric acid, sulfuric acid, citric acid in polyethylene packages because it won't react with it. And so there are good plastics and there are toxic plastics. And I'm not an expert in the plastics realm, so I don't think I'm a good person to advise there, but it's easy to find on the internet what's going on with plastics and which ones are recyclable, you know, which ones contain toxins and leach into our food, and which ones are good. Polyethylene, I must say, is a I'm not a plastic proponent, but that's a good food contact surface.
I wanted to ask you about I know Eden Foods, most of the food is or your food is packaged, and if you had anything to say about the seafood in the Gulf, I know I'm a big fan of your bonito flakes. I think they're fantastic. How do you ensure that a fish product like that will not eventually be tainted by, say, dispersants or mercury?
Well, we know the source, as we do with all food we sell. That's one animal product that we do sell, and it's a flavoring. And we know where it's coming from. It's far removed from that. On the other hand, our oceans are basically where everything that we dump into the environment ends up. So there are environmental pollutants, I'm certain, in it, at a level that it's unfortunate. But, you know, how do we clean up the oceans? How do we clean up the atmosphere? Little by little, and it's, you know, how do we reduce greenhouse gases? How do we manage our economies and satisfy our needs without destroying the planet on which we rely for our life? It would have been so great if the white man, when he came to this country or this world, would have appreciated the wisdom of the red man and understood our connection with the planet. The planet's not a dead rock. It's a living entity. And you know, our impact on it can be good. It can be bad. But, yeah, how do we get there from fish? Jeez, I don't know.
Well, those are good questions you raised there.
Yeah, everything you said was just something we all need to really think about. How do we get there? You know, I have a question, and I'd love your thoughts on part of the reason why some people don't buy organics is because they say organics are too expensive. And my theory is that we just don't have our priorities straight with what we spend our money on. When you look at countries like my son was in France a while back, and he just was amazed at the amount of money they spend on food, but it's really good quality food. And there's a different mentality.
I was just there myself and experienced the same thing. Americans would cringe at what they spend on food over there, but it is wonderful food.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think the bottom line is we have to take a look at how have we gotten off track? How have we made food and what we put into our body low on the totem pole of priorities?
Well, it's a lack of understanding, and it's a short-sightedness. We can save a few pennies today or save a dollar or two here today, and we forget that, you know, I've heard it said, you know, buy organic food or pay the doctor later. I mean, you know, take your pick. You know, which is cheaper? Organic food, real organic food, pays wonderful dividends. And not only regarding the medical community or your lack of dependence on it, but in every aspect of your life and in your thinking, in your intellectual and in your emotional life, it impacts all that very positively. And if people understood the value delivered there, they would be organic food is a great value. It's not more expensive when you take the whole into consideration.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I just think teaching people, you know, how and why it's important is part of what we want to do here. You know, before we let you go, we would love you to ask you if you have any special projects you're working on, and also perhaps give out your website information for our listeners. So.
sure. EdenFoods.com, www.edenfoods.com. We're there, and please visit. Projects, we've always got irons in the fire, developmental, new products, new recipes. Today we've got about 250 items, and you know, some years we might introduce 10 more, some years 2-3 more. We're not about bigness. A favorite book I read quite a while ago was Small is Beautiful by Schumacher. It's about small economics, non-destructive economics. Eden Foods is a small company. The food we offer folks is wonderful, just absolutely wonderful food. And it's a great experience and well worth the money.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you so much, Michael. It's been wonderful having you on the show. And I personally appreciate your energy and your passion. And it's just been a delight having you as our guest.
Carol, thank you very much. And thank you to your listeners for being there. And it's a great day when I can help a person like yourself do what you're trying to do there.
Thank you so much. I want to let our listeners know that next week we will continue the discussion on non-GMO month, and we are going to have one of the godfathers of the non-GMO movement, Jeffrey Smith. He is the author of the best-selling book. It's actually the number one book on GMOs. It's called Seeds of Deception, and he is also from the Institute of Responsible Technology. So he's going to have some really important information for all of our listeners. And to let everyone know, you are listening to Food Integrity Now. You can listen to our podcast of all our archive shows at www.foodintegritynow.org. We will be on next week at 2 o'clock, and thanks for listening.